T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Adam Rank joins us from NFL Network. So, first of all, Adam, how's it going, brother? Everything good, I hope?
Everything is wonderful, although I got to be honest with you. I'm a little jealous that you're going to be with our friends down at the D
right
this week, you know, and I'm going to be out there, you know, freezing in Minnesota.
Yeah, let me ask you. So, as far as the D goes, and then they had the birthday celebration for the Golden Gate the other day, and then you know, Derek Stevens bought that Las Vegas club across from the Golden Gate, and he tore it down. And obviously, you know, he's building a, you know, it's obvious he's building a mega casino down there. That's what he's going to do. And what do you think it'll be like? What do you, because he won't tell anyone what he's doing. He's tight-lipped about it. What do you think that'll end up being like, that place? Because I think some magnificent new casino down there is going to take over Fremont Street.
No, 100%. Obviously, I mean, it goes without saying there's going to be a palatial studio for Pharrell on the bench, a rightful spot right there. But I do think, you know, as we see the walls crumbling around the old Las Vegas club, I think it's just going to be an extension of what we've seen him do with two properties, with the D and with the Golden Gate, just making something a mega resort, something that we don't have the likes of downtown. I know there's a couple other ones down there that are pretty nice. Like, they're comfortable. I enjoy going down there. I enjoy all the places down there on Fremont. But I think Derek is ready to take it to another level. And I think the one thing that gives me the most confidence is looking at the downtown event center and how great that's been as a venue for concerts and everything like that. And I'm just excited. I can't wait. I know. And, like, if you can't get the details from him, I obviously have no chance of ever prying those from him.
Yeah, I'm going to try to squeeze him and everyone else for that matter while I'm there. For Intel, they got a lot going on down there already. And then, I mean, the properties they got are rocking, and now they're, you know, building this new one. It's going to be amazing. So we're there. We leave Saturday. We'll be out there this Saturday. And then Sunday, we're going to watch, you know, Pro Bowls, NHL All-Star Games. There's all kinds of action going on. And then, obviously, it's Super Bowl week. Let's talk about the football. Do you have any we were talking earlier about the refs. I really didn't have a problem with the game as an objective observer and just a bettor. I was watching riding the game as a bettor, and I just sat there, and I never had a problem, to be honest with you, with the calls in the game. And then when the game ended, everybody complained about they had one call against them and then six for Jacksonville. What did you think of the way the game was called?
I kind of like the way the flow of the game went. The flow of the game went. I know there were six towards Jacksonville, but a couple of those calls were avoidable by them. You know, they had the illegal shift when they were trying to rush up there to prevent a review, which obviously would have gone in their favor if they had just chilled out and gone up and gone about their business. And, of course, they had that delay of game, which cost them because, of course, they converted that third down. But, of course, taking the delay of game, then there was the sack. And I just think in the moment, just watching the game, I didn't feel like it was heavy-handed one side or the other. I was kind of surprised that New England had just one penalty. But you know what? Just watching it, I didn't get the sense that there was anything going on. I just thought it was two teams slugging it out. I know there were some complaints from our friends down in Duval County, Florida, who felt that Mercedes Lewis was kind of manhandled a lot, which, you know, that kind of stuff happens. But, I mean, it goes both ways. And I thought it was a pretty clean game that way, and never felt that the refs were much of an issue.
So they did. They complained about an Amendola headbutt in the game, obviously. And then, you know, Miles Jack complained about it. Obviously, Malik Jackson complained about it. I actually thought they played great, but they blew it. I mean, they had the lead. And then I thought when They had the ball late. I thought their play calling was terrible compared to how great it was in the Pittsburgh game and the New England game. I thought they had great play calling, very, you know, they deceptive plays that led to huge gains, huge first downs, huge runs. And then I thought when they finally had the ball and a chance to, like, win the game, I thought their play calling was average and mediocre and boring. Did you feel that way at all?
100%. You know, and in the first quarter, they get out to that 14-3 lead. Very confident, very loose, just marching up and down the field. It didn't seem like the Patriots had much of an answer for them. But I think things started to really go poorly right at the end of the first half when they had an opportunity. They had two timeouts, about a minute left, and they decided just to take a knee. Just saying, hey, you know what, this is good enough. We'll just take this lead into the locker room. I felt that if they would have kind of pressed it a little bit, maybe at least, you know, take a chance, you know, run a play action right there. Because their play action, they did it just twice, but when they did it, they were very effective with it. If you would have gone play action on first down and let, you know, give Bortles the option, like, hey, if it's there, go for it. If not, you know, tuck it, run, do whatever you got to do. So that really to me was kind of the beginning of the end. And I felt like they got into a repetitive pattern where they would automatically run on first down. They'd go deep on second down. It's like, you got to kind of mix it up. And again, if they would have just been a little bit more creative in the second half, not been afraid to let Bortles kind of make some plays, because we saw that, like you said, in that game against Pittsburgh, Bortles was willing to put the ball in tight spots. He was willing to run the ball a little bit more. It didn't seem like they were getting all that much pressure on him. I just wish that they would have been more creative. It seemed like they tightened up, but it happens all the time with teams going to New England. It could be the Jags. It could be the Steelers. It doesn't matter who it is. They always just seem to play tight at the end of the game against the Patriots.
Adam Rank, NFL Network. I thought the Eagles obviously killed the Vikings on third downs, 10 of 14. I thought the drive right before the half, 29 seconds left, you hit, you know, passes to Ajayi and then 11 yards, then 36 yards to Hurts, 13 again to Ajayi, and you get the Elliott field goal. I thought that really, that quick drive and that field goal was the nail in the coffin. It was over. The game was over.
No, 100%. And that's one of the things that happens when you try to go for it. When you try to win games, it's amazing what can happen. You know, instead of just being, you know, resting on your laurels and being like, you know what, this was a good half. Let's just go in there. We'll go catch, you know, we'll go get some orange slices or whatever you're going to do in there. Actually try to win a game and actually try to put points up on the board. And I thought that that was a tone setter. And I thought that equally the Vikings made a mistake when they got all the way down into the red zone. And even though they were down, you know, by a lot of points, they went for it on fourth down instead of just taking a field goal, which would have cut. I know it's silly to say they would have cut it to 21 points, but just having that mindset of getting some points on the board, I thought that that hurt them a little bit. But they were they just seemed overmatched, and it seemed that, you know, and I know that you study these trends and you look at all the things like that. Teams that win those miraculous walk-off games always seem to have trouble the following week. And it sure seemed like the Vikings had trouble.
I thought, you know, everyone, the public believed that Atlanta was automatic against, you know, the Eagles. And then again, last week, I thought that the public thought that the Vikings were destined to play in their own building in the Super Bowl and that they were automatic against Philly and that they would win the game. Eagles were dogs in both games. And no one respects them, obviously. And now, again, which I think is deserved, they're dogs in the Super Bowl. Who do you like so far out of the gates in this 5.5-point Pats-favored Super Bowl in a rematch? It's the sixth repeat matchup in Super Bowl history. What do you think will happen there?
You know, it's interesting because, again, the Eagles have seemed to relish that underdog role and have not backed down from it, even made a gag out of it, you know, running around in the German Shepherd mask. You got the best player in Major League Baseball sitting in the stands, sitting in the first row, putting on a dog mask for crying out loud. So I love the way the Eagles have approached this. And I look at this matchup and I'm like, okay, it's going to be tough for the Patriots. I think, you know, everybody who's just casually dismissing Nick Foles needs to realize, like, hey, Eli Manning is 2-0 against the Patriots, so it's not inconceivable that somebody could go in there and beat the Patriots, that somebody could match them, especially with a team like the Eagles that plays so well against the run. They've got a strong defense. Nick Foles was getting the ball out of his hands so quick. If you go back, watch that game. He's not taking a lot of seven-step drops or doing anything crazy. He's getting back there, getting rid of the ball, and I think that could give the Patriots some trouble. So I'm not ready to make a pick. We got 2 weeks to talk myself out of this. But right now, I would be leaning towards the Eagles. I think a lot of people continue to underestimate the Eagles, but I think it's going to be a huge mistake.
There you go. He won't give us an answer, but he just told us he likes the Eagles. That's all that matters. Adam, have fun in Minneapolis. I know that it's blizzard conditions there right now, and it's supposed to be, I'm assuming more blizzard conditions by the time you get there. So have fun with that. And then we'll be in Vegas partying with strippers and hookers. You have fun, though.
Spandex Nation.
That's right, son. Hey, thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
Pleasure is all on this side of the phone.
All right, there he is. Adam Rank, NFL Network. Check him out. I do NFL Network a lot, too, the top 10 shows. Carver High tells me I'm terrible on that show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.